Happy Easter, Bunny. Happy Easter, Bunny. It's Dr. Fred Bell's April 4th show. Everybody missed the April Fool's show where we had fools on. That's just how it goes. It's just how it is, the April Fool's show. So anyway, we're going to have a nice time. We're doing a new catalog, and we're getting that ready. Those of you that want to send in for a new catalog, it'll be available in about about a month. A lot of new stuff, a lot of new products. So we're going to, I'm going to get Jim online here. We're going to hash out some of the past, as we sometimes do around here.
With Dr. Bell, good morning.
How you doing there, huh?
Yep.
I'm doing fine.
I'm doing fine.
How are things in Laguna?
Oh, we're looking for rain, but I don't
here we are.
Rain today.
Well, this is how it goes, you know.
I want to talk about the more about the Excalibur. We spoke about all the different B complex.
We're going to talk about the B complex. Now, realize the Excalibur has changed now to the Pyridine formula. It's a much better formula even than what you're going to talk about today.
And
the toll-free number is 1-800-729-2603.
Because they're getting some what they would call pretty good results. But anyway, vitamin C is a we use a lot of that in Excalibur, and vitamin C is a very important nutrient in our food systems. For example, without it, our cells just simply fall apart. Vitamin C is the source of nutrients that forms a thing called collagen, and it's a binding factor in all cells. Yeah, it was discovered back in quite a few years ago, but the real use of it was back during the sailing days when the English people used to come down with scurvy, because they would make long trips over the water on their boats. And scurvy is a disease that has about the same symptoms as cancer. And they found that by giving them fresh fruit, that it would eliminate scurvy. And by the way, that's, you ever heard the English term limey? The limey comes from the fact that the English people were eating limes, because a lime was like a lemon, and it will store for a long period of time. And when you're on a 2 or 3 month voyage, sometimes oranges would go bad because they didn't have pyramids in those days to store them in. So they began to carry limes around and they would eat those. That's why they call them limey.
And now, wait a minute. If they had pyramids and oranges, we would have been calling them orangies?
Well, I don't know. We've got to call them orangies or, I don't know. Think of a word that you could combine pyramid and orange.
Orange.
How about oropids?
like
<it. laughs> Here come the oropids. What I like to do with the pyramid, a little vitamin that we make, is I like to put that over my oranges. That's one of my favorite things to do, because after 3 or 4 months, they taste like candy. They're still fresh and they're really juicy. They shrink a little bit, but there's a lot more juice available in them. It takes some of the pulp of the orange and turns it directly into juice, and they don't rot. They just get really sweet,
mm-hmm.
and it's delicious, you know.
Well, I think that maybe lime was the proper choice.
yeah. So anyhow, a lot of people, like, for example, if you have sulfa drugs, you take sulfa drugs, these deplete they increase the urinary excretion of vitamin C by 2 or 3 times. So you need to take more vitamin C if you're drinking very much, or hot weather like we're in now. You get a thing called prickly heat. Well, babies get it, men get it, and it's an embarrassing place to scratch all the time, right? So vitamin C has been found to relieve the symptoms leading up to these kinds of irritation, skin irritation. Realize that the vitamin C is a stress vitamin, and it also helps rebuild the adrenal glands, but in the case of the skin and prickly heat, the skin is the largest organ in the body anyway. And it's also very good for, if you have gout, vitamin C will help relieve the pain and the uric acid. It removes the crystals, little crystals form in our body, which when you do an acupuncture on the bottom of the feet, for example, and it feels so good. What's happening is you're getting circulation back in the organs of the body because you're relieving these crystals that form at the bottom of the feet. And then, of course, if you get up, you're doing a lot of exercise. You're one of these people that just started an exercise program. Suddenly your muscles are getting stiff and tired after exercise. Increase your mass quantities of vitamin C. It works incredibly well. And then people that have poor circulation, a lot of studies were done up in Canada because it gets very cold up there in the frostbite levels. And they found that if you take a lot of vitamin C, it will cause you to produce more body heat. And that was kind of an interesting study. It was done back in 73. And then, of course, the the lubricating fluid of the joints, called synovial fluid, becomes thinner, allowing freer movement when the serum levels of ascorbic acid are high. So this is very good for the relief of arthritis and arthritic pains. Now, also the vitamin C increases when you get older for sex drive, for example, because the sex drive, your sex organs change as you get older, and some of our sex drive drops a little bit. Vitamin C is quite helpful, along with vitamin E and cocosinol, but don't take the vitamin E and the vitamin C at the same time, because what happens is these are two vitamins that fight each other in the body. So that's why in the Excalibur, we use, even though we're using a water-soluble and an oil-soluble, we have a different time-release factor for each one of them. The vitamin C is absorbed much faster in the body than the vitamin E is dumped in later. And, of course, sinus problems. It goes on, all the kinds of things leading up to symptoms of cold can be eliminated by mass quantities of vitamin C, especially in this weather, especially when we get into the smog and the pollution. Because I used to make a formula called Freeway 500, and what we did there is we had a flash oxidized method of vitamin C. And what flash oxidation does for you is that if you're breathing a lot of smog, and you realize that smog will go into your body 150 times faster than oxygen, so pretty soon you're so full of smog and carbon monoxide that you're not functioning properly if you've driven more than 8 minutes on the freeway. So we use this flash oxidized vitamin C formula, and you would drive somewhere and then take this vitamin before and after the drive, and it would immediately do what it takes your body 8 hours to do, and flush all this carbon monoxide right out of your body. It was a real successful formula. I may bring it back on the market one of these days, but it was an experimental thing that we made a few years ago. And vitamin C is just an incredible thing. We all need it, and most of us are lacking in it. The body holds approximately 5 grams of vitamin C. Now, what happens is if you take 5 grams of vitamin C in an ascorbic acid manner, which is the most common way of taking it, chances are you'll end up with diarrhea because it acts as a stomach irritant. So what we did about that to alleviate that problem was that we found that if you wear a pyramid part of the time, sleep in one, or wear one of these little receptors, the way that the receptor of the pyramids work is they enhance the body's ability to assimilate vitamin C, and it's about 4 times. So if you have this pyramid or this receptor in your person, and you take 1 gram of vitamin C, the body thinks it has 5 grams of vitamin C in it and won't give it up. It doesn't give it up as fast. And you can measure this by the amount of vitamin C that's in the urine. And if your body is storing vitamin C, you could take a couple days to get your 5 grams in your body, and you're now utilizing it rather than getting rid of it in the urine. This is a much more efficient way of using vitamin C. Now, a lot of people go out and they buy vitamin C in 2 forms. One is ascorbic acid, and the other are mineral ascorbates. Well, the ascorbic acid has a disadvantage in the fact that it will irritate the stomach lining, and the ascorbates have a problem with, because they're a salt. They're actually a mineral salt. And what happens with those is they start building up. The salts end up staying in the body. The vitamin C goes out, and the host salt ends up staying in the body and can lead to a premature heart attack. So what you have to do is realize when you take vitamin C, the proper balance of your body, so that you don't store up too many salts. At the same time, you have enough ascorbic acid in there. So what we found is in the average person, what seems to work, is we'll use approximately in one pill about 250 milligrams of magnesium salt and vitamin C salt. Then we'll use approximately 750 of the ascorbic acid. And by making this combination go into the body, sometimes we'll use the potassium form of vitamin C too. By putting this combination in the and also now we're using calcium ascorbates too. By putting the body in this ratio, in other words, about one-third salt and two-thirds of the ascorbic acid per gram, the result is we have a vitamin C that goes into the body very quickly, very efficient, and then it doesn't have any side effects. And there, believe me, there are side effects for some of these vitamin Cs. Now, if you end up with a cold, let's say somebody comes to me and has a cold, at the point that you've already reached a viral condition in the body, in other words, you have viruses running rapid in the body now, and you have a cold, typically it's too late for vitamin C. It's all right to go ahead and take it, but that's not going to help get rid of the cold, because you, once the system breaks down, it might even reject the vitamin C, a lot of it. So you should take it in larger quantities, but be careful with it, because if you start bringing yourself into a dysentery condition because you need vitamin C because you have a cold, that's a whole other attack on your body, and then it's not doing you a bit of good. And that's why they tell you to take the vitamin C before the cold. So these are some of the things that people need to know about vitamin C. Now, Dr. Klenner in Reidsville, North Carolina, several years ago, discovered the what's called flash oxidation, which is what led me into getting into flash oxidized vitamin C. And what happened is this pus caterpillar had bitten a man back there, and a pus caterpillar is a very deadly, that and the brown recluse spider, the black widow, they all fall in the same category of pretty deadly bites. So what he did is he gave him an norepinephrine shot, which didn't do a bit of good, it made him worse. So the next thing he did is, about 20 seconds later, is he gave him 1,500 units of vitamin C intravenously. This immediately caused the swelling to go down, reversed the effect of his pus bite, and the guy was going into a convulsion and shaking and sweating. All of it stopped within a half a minute. So as a result, flash oxidation has become pretty common in the medical world. The doctor that I co-practice with out in the valley, Dr. Peter McCallum, he's a medical doctor. When a person gets sick out there, we send them out to the clinic. Instead of giving them a penicillin shot, or instead of giving a bunch of sulfa drugs for the flu, or the viruses that we get, he has the patient sit down in a chair, and he gives them 15,000 international units intravenously of vitamin C. It flushes the body out. It's the most amazing thing you ever saw. And the patient then goes home a couple hours later. We usually recommend that he recommends they sleep for about 8 hours, and the cold is gone. I mean, you don't have to have a cold that's going to linger for 2 or 3 weeks. And Randy knows if you know the right person or the right way to combat it. But that's the only way that you can take that much vitamin C and wipe out a cold is intravenously. If you try to do it orally, you're going to have all kinds of problems. A lot of people don't realize that. Also, there's another doctor over here in Santa Ana that works with heroin addicts, cocaine addicts, and smokers. And they found that if you give them large amounts of vitamin C intravenously, it'll help curb the desire for those particular drugs. So it's also used in drug therapy, too. So I'm real proud of the way we use vitamin C in the Excalibur formula, because we buffered it with a bunch of different herbs that basically enhance the digestive tract in the body, whereby, for example, we use peppermint, wintergreen, those kinds of things, papaya in the form of papain. Those kinds of enzymes are functioning in the body to help make the body assimilate the vitamin C and yet not cause an irritating effect. And if you take 5 grams of vitamin C through a formula like Excalibur, you won't get a rough stomach. Although, with three, you have to take 3 tablets just to get 1 gram of vitamin C, so you'd have to take an awful lot of pills to get 5 grams. It's not per se a vitamin C formula, but it does have the way over the normal amount of vitamin C that you need to prevent getting a cold. Now, the next thing that I'd like to talk about here is DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid. And we use a small amount of DNA in our vitamin to enhance the anti-aging process in the body, because what happens is, as the DNA levels get low in the body, the cells don't get a full amount of instructions, and what happens is they begin to age. And on top of that, stress is something that really hurts the DNA on the body. DNA is polarized with positive and negative ends like a bar magnet. And a healthy DNA will reproduce healthy cells and aids the body to naturally overcome the invasion of bacteria and toxins. And this, of course, adds up to good health. Most of the external factors which have been implicated in the evolution of life are of electromagnetic nature. It's been established recently that through the last reviewable geological period, that the biosphere has been a region of electromagnetic fields and radiations of all frequencies known to us. From the slow periodic variations of the Earth's magnetic and the electric fields to the gamma rays. And all of these things have an effect on the DNA in the body, because the DNA is one of the most electronic devices in the biochemistry of the body that we have. If you were to look at it, it looks like a ladder with little rungs on it, and then imagine somebody took the ladder and twisted it several times. And the average length of this ladder in the body, all wound up in a cell, believe it or not, and each cell is 3 feet long. So that's a very complex structure. Imagine that, you know, a cell is small enough as it is, and in the center of the nucleus of the cell is this DNA process. And it's 3 feet long if you could unwind it. And what happens is these DNA ladders are made up of four basic amino acids, adenine, guanine, thymine, and cytosine. And these four amino acids are, two of them are sugars, and two of them are phosphates. And what happens is they combine if you're healthy in the proper polarities. If they don't combine in the proper polarities, what happens is not only is the aging process sped up, but the immune system begins to drastically fall apart. Now, one of the things that we have really developed that really helps the DNA in the body, besides nutrition, is that receptor, which I'll be talking about later on. But we have shown that as a person gets older, the DNA begins to unwind. The base pair, what they call base pair per turns, unwind. For example, before you're born, the baby has 46 base pairs per turn. And the kinetic energy of the electrons is pretty powerful at this point. But as we start to get older and the baby is born, the slowing process of reproduction begins to increase. And at 2 years old, the DNA winds down to 22 base pairs per turn. At 14, at 14 at the age of 21, 10 at the age of 35, and so on up to 55 years old. At 55 years old, the base pairs are reduced from what it was once 46 down to 6. And now you have cells that don't reproduce properly. You have wrinkled skin and all these kinds of things. So this is why we had developed the, not only do we put the DNA in the Excalibur formula to help, you know, sample the body, sample of what it's supposed to be experiencing, but we developed this device, which you've seen, called the receptor, to work with the formulation. Because now we're finding that not only do we need super new age formulas, but we also use devices to help accentuate the formula. For example, when we were talking about vitamin C the day before yesterday, we found that with a pyramid or a receptor used, the assimilation factor of vitamin C and the metabolization factor of vitamin C in the body goes up approximately 400%. That means the body uses it four times more efficiently than it normally would, which is a significant amount. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about our minerals that we're using in the Excalibur formulas. And many times I want to say about minerals is that there are three different spectrums of minerals that work in the body. And our body is only 5% mineral, but it controls 95% of our metabolic function. And first of all, we have the low-frequency minerals, the calcium, the iron, and these kinds of things. These are minerals that are responsible for, in our bodies, subconscious functions, things that we don't really think about. Things that have to go on, if they didn't go on, we wouldn't function for very long, but are really not aware of while they're going on. The second range of minerals is the mid-range frequency minerals. These are the silvers, the chromiums, these are the reflectors. And these types of minerals, what they do is they have to reflect off of each other to build parallel networks. Like in the structuring up of amino acids, there's left spin and right spin amino acids. Normally, we like to see left spin coming in to the body, but then the body will produce it on its own, the right spin alternative. And so one of the first minerals, of course, you think about would be chrome, because chrome is reflective or silver. And this, of course, affects our feelings also. This form of mineral comes up, and because we're reflecting internally in the body, we're going to reflect externally. So it's going to affect our sight, our sound, our sense of touch, our smell, all these kinds of things. If these minerals are deficient in our body, our feelings will be affected and will become insensitive over a period of time. And then the highest band of the highest octave or frequency of minerals is the trace minerals, which are just becoming, you know, popular now in the health field. At first, people got crazy with them because they would go out and try to eat gold because they realized that gold affected consciousness and all these kinds of things. But now we're realizing that these trace minerals have to be taken into our body in a manner whereby the body can assimilate them. And of course, the effects of consciousness are the head centers, the thoughts about God, the higher centers of the body, and the nervous network that they work through is the parasympathetic nervous network. Oftentimes, a psychiatrist or a doctor can analyze a person's personality, and just by the personality alone, come up with many, many different forms of mineral or vitamin shortages.
Well, that kind of cut out there. I don't know what happened. We had a cutout. So let's see what happened here. And should effective tape or something, let's put it on the other side and see what happens.
So, like, yeah. I pretty much hardly ever get
to switch tapes
in Southern California, but I can go down to Hawaii, which is further towards the equator, and go out there for an hour and end up with sunburn because of the angle is different. My body's not used to that. Now, once you get into an area, your body will articulate itself and stabilize itself into the climate of the sun in that particular area. That takes a few years to climatize, basically, to the sun. And then, of course, realize that when you do, then your B-complex factors will change, your D-simulation from the sun will change. So it's necessary to take into consideration. And to be safe when you go into a new area, what we always do, you know, like, for example, around the house here, we'll probably take maybe 8 or 10 Excaliburs a day. When we get out in Hawaii or somewhere, even though we're on vacation, we'll go up to 15 or 20 just to make the adjustments. But what that eliminates is the, number one, the effect of where you fall asleep for 3 days because you're breathing fresh air again, you're not used to it, eliminates that effect, which is an adjustment effect. And oftentimes I go with my friends and they'll pick up colds and different things because they don't adjust because they aren't taking proper nutrition. So nutrition is very important when you're traveling, especially more so oftentimes than around the house. Now the next vitamin that we have in our formula is one called B15, pangamic acid. And it was first developed by Dr. Ernest T. Krebs, who I've had the honor of working with through the National Health Federation. And it became very popular in Russia, and still is, as a matter of fact. It's a supplement for athletes training for the Olympics. And it's also a rejuvenating factor for people with heart disease. Now, remember, we've talked a lot about heart disease, and we've made statements many times that a meal today has 50 times less vitamin E in it than it did 50 years ago, the same meal. That also includes other vitamins, which means that the cholesterol levels are going to be higher, the calcium levels are going to be lower, the vitamin D levels are going to be lower, and we need to have that B15 in there. Now, the Russians claim that if you take B15 daily, it's almost impossible to have a heart attack because the heart muscles will contain adequate amounts of oxygen and subsequently low levels of cholesterol. And it also has helped in the prevention of carbon monoxide poisoning, which is what happens when people drive on the freeways. As a matter of fact, a while back, I had a vitamin C formula that I came out with and made for a limited period of time, and I had the B15 in that also. It worked very well. And a deficiency of, realize that B15 just is one of the great oxygen carriers within the body. And, of course, naturally, it's going to be an excellent cancer-preventative vitamin. And a deficiency of pangamic acid will cause diminished oxygen of the cells, hypoxia, heart disease, glandular, and nervous disorders. So these are some of the symptoms of it. And we put about 50 milligrams in. If you take a dosage of Excalibur, you'll receive 50 milligrams of vitamin B15 daily. And 50 milligrams is, you know, for the price that Excalibur is marketed for, it's a heck of a buy because if you were to go to a health food store and get the Angamic 15, for example, you're going to pay $14.95 just for a 50-milligram daily supply for a month of B15. So we're including it in a slightly higher price, but you're getting, you know, 54 other vitamins along with it in synergism.
Dr. Bell, weren't the Soviets using massive doses of B15?
Yes, they were. They were taking up to 500 milligrams a day. And with Excalibur, because of the other coenzymes that are in there that synergistically work with B15, I would say that you probably assimilate the B-15 at 50 milligram dosages as well as you probably would taking 150 without the synergistic action of getting it into the system. B-17, B-12, these are all the nitrilicide family. And because they're all in one family and one synergistic effect in the vitamin, it's very effective. If you are a hard running athlete in the L.A. smog, like some of these people that insist on running around UCLA at traffic time, which I see when I'm up there, and part of the UCLA track is along a busy street that brings traffic from Santa Monica up to Bel Air and Beverly Hills, I see these people really sweating in the smog, you know. I would definitely probably go down and get some Angamic 15 and supplement the Excalibur with it because of the extreme stress that you're placing yourself under, along with additional amounts of vitamin C, probably about 2 or 3 grams a day. Now, the next one is that we have in there is one that you should get daily. We used to get it daily, but what happened was with this particular vitamin is that as soon as we started taking the husks off of rice, processing the flour and making it, bleaching it, making all of the food processes, it's one of the first vitamins to escape, and it's known as one of the strongest anti-cancer vitamins, and that, of course, is the B-17, controversial vitamin. We use a B-17. The way we get it in there is we use bitter almond brand, as a source. Bitter almond brand is an excellent source of B-15. It's a whole lot better to take it through a vitamin supplement. It's not one that's outlawed for public consumption like apricot kernels by the FDA, so it's one that's kind of in the gray area that nobody's really hassling us about at this point in time. And it's often used in vitamins by conscientious types of formulators that know how to prevent cancer. And I'm not saying that I occasionally don't supplement the almond brand that's in the Excalibur on my own with apricot kernels, which I do buy and keep in storage. But I primarily only do the apricot kernels when I haven't been behaving properly and I've eaten a bunch of bad foods from being on the road. Around here, I can eat mostly raw foods and don't have to worry about it. But anyhow, laetrile is a derivative of the nitrilicide, and it's a very powerful cell oxidizer, and it falls in the complex B12 through B17 family. It was first synthesized from a compound in the apricot kernel, once again, by 1952 by Ernest Krebs, Jr., that was his son. The new compound was patented and called Laetrile. Now, amygdalin, or B17, consists of two molecules of sugar, one molecule of benzaldehyde, and one molecule of cyanide, whereas Laetrile consists of a benzene ring and cyanide. But unlike amygdalin, it contains glucuric acid in the place of glucose sugar. Amygdalin B17 is a nutrient used in body maintenance functions, as are other vitamins. But Laetrile is used in the treatment of oxygen starvation diseases such as cancer. So when we use the amygdalin form, which is the natural form, what happens is if you were to have cancer, okay, and you would have this in your body, it would release a small amount of cyanide on the tumor site. Now, if you don't have cancer, when the amygdalin goes into the body, there is a large amount of rhodinase in the body, which cancer cells don't have, and rhodinase immediately counteracts the cyanide and becomes neutral. And this, of course, is healthy because when the cyanide comes in a small amount and it's tied up in another molecule, in a compound molecule, so it's not even going to be released. It's almost like saying that salt is bad because it has sodium and chlorine in it. But sodium chloride, especially sea salt, is not bad at all in small amounts. But the elements of sodium and chlorine by themselves are deadly. Well, that's the same thing cyanide is in the B17 apricot kernel. It's just part of a molecular structure that is totally harmless. And as a matter of fact, when you take it in your body, it will help the body produce more rhodinase because rhodinase is what breaks it down. But if it's, like I say, if it's not present, then the only thing that could be is a cancer situation, and then the cyanide will release on the tumor site and destroy the cancer. That's how it works. Now, a lot of researchers had problems working just with a Laetrile by itself because they didn't understand when you separate the Laetrile from the amygdalin,
what happens is you have to put in coenzymes for the body to assimilate it. Otherwise, the body will just reject the whole thing totally, and even regardless of whether you've got cancer. So Harold Manner, for example, over at Loyola University, found that if he used a vitamin A in the form of A-mulsin, which is a vitamin A like we use in the Excalibur, it's one that does not go through the liver, it's water-soluble, then you will have a proper amount of enzymes to help balance the other end of this reaction. So anyway, it's quite interesting just studying the B17. Now, the name, by the way, the compound, for example, which contains the cyanide, is usually labeled with a suffix, nitrile, spelled N-I-T-R-I-L-E. And since Krebs' new compound contains cyanide, and since it was lava-rotary, and lava-rotary, there's two things. There's dextrorotary and lava-rotary. And what happened was, when you talk about dextrorotary, you're talking about spinning light one direction in the body. And if it's lava-rotary, it goes to the left, which is a good way. If it's dextrorotary and spins to the right, a chemical or a vitamin or an enzyme would not be that in the body, because things that go to the right or do light spin to the right are usually poisonous to the body, okay? And the lava rotary plus the nitrile is where the first three letters of laetrile came from, and the last five letters came from nitrile, and the word laetrile came from that. But we often talk about the body, and this is a good example. We often talk about the body as being a unit of light energy, you know? And remember at the seminar that we did last time, I drew out on the blackboard the actual formation of a hormone from a mineral in the ground, and along that explanation I was able to show on the board how that the body turns the mineral into a unit of energy called light, which the next seminar will go into. It's kind of hard to do it without some visual aids. The amygdalin, B17, is not something just because the Krebs father and son team began to work with it in this country. It was first used by a Chinese herbalist, Pan Zhou, in the year 2800 B.C., and it has been used intermittently by various groups ever since that time. So some people think that because B17, you know, is just now coming into the vitamin scene in America, that it's new. It's not. You know, no vitamin is new. They've always been around. We're just discovering them. But it's been around for, you know, like 3,000-4,000 years. Now, cyanide, you know, is locked into the sugar molecule. It is also found in over 2,000, it is normally found in over 2,000 known unrefined foods and grasses. A concentration of about 2 to 3% laetrile is found in whole kernels of most fruits, including apricots, apples, cherries, peaches, plums, nectarines, and some in different brands where we use it from, and some 70 plants commonly fed to animals as fodder. A sprouting seed, like wheatgrass, for example, produces 10 to 30 times as much laetrile as does a mature plant. Few citrus fruits contain laetrile. Okay, shelled and unshelled apricot kernels usually have 2 to 3% amygdalin and are also excellent sources of protein and fatty acids and minerals. Now, laetrile, the B17 derivative, has been legalized in several states. I was, as a matter of fact, I went through the legalization process with the National Health Federation when this happened in Chicago. And laetrile is manufactured and used over 17 countries throughout the world, including Mexico, Germany, Italy, Belgium, and the Philippines. And it is, and once again, I have to say, it's a very highly selective substance. You know, and DNA, the next thing I want to talk about is DNA in this relationship. Now, I'll be talking about it further when we get into the latter part of DNA and the effect of the receptor, which is a life extension device that we've developed. But in DNA, light spin is important, and when the wrong elements, such as microwaves, radar, ultraviolet from the sun, etc., these kinds of things, are obtained in the body, a mispolarization or a disease begins at the DNA level. And there are 6 billion bases joined together to form the DNA. Now, realize that the polarities of the sugars and phosphates, you've got 4 basic amino acids in DNA, adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine, okay? And these sugars and phosphates must be in unison, or an inversion will cause a new base amino acid and will actually establish polarity-wise upside down. Okay, phosphate with phosphate, sugar with sugar, versus sugar-phosphate combinations that build these little ladders of energy inside the body. And the elements attract each other because of the opposite directional spinning of the electrons in what's called the H bonds, and it's not because of different chemical compositions. Okay, so these H bonds are all determined electrically and not chemically. And so when Dr. Cohn at NASA began to do some research on cancer, and he found, because he is advocating negative ionizations as a preventive and a treatment for that, because he found that a cell normally has a strong negative charge on it, but if it's getting too much smog or too much of these different radar waves and all these other kinds of things. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, there was just an article on the news the other night that said the average person in Los Angeles in this area, I think, is getting one milliwatt per cubic centimeter of radar just from the radar sets around here, which is exactly the maximum allowable amount by the FDA or the FTC outside of a microwave oven. So we're right on the threshold.
What radar sets?
What radar sets? All right, have you ever looked up on right above you there at Palos Verdes there?
Uh-huh.
About San Pedro?
Yeah.
Those are early warning radars. I used to work on those. That's part of the radar, the early warning NORAD setup. There's one down here at the airport. The ILS equipment and all of, at LAX, anybody living around LAX,
mm-hmm.
There's lots of radar up there. That's how they vector those guys in the fog. That's some pretty, and all those jets, when those jets come in, they have radars on the 747 to determine the landing rate, the distance to the Earth. They use radar to determine the distance between each other. There's other radar installations back over here in these mountains over towards Edwards that comes over in this area.
So we're picking up a pretty healthy dose of radiation.
Uh-huh. And then all of the ships out sea, a lot of these foreign freighters that come by over on the other side of Catalina and outside the continental United States over 2 miles out,
mm-hmm.
carry radars that are higher than the power levels that we normally use in this country. Believe me, we get a lot of radar. They use it for distance measuring, DME equipment. Okay, we get it all the time in Southern California. The maximum legal amount that you can have around the microwave on the outside for that unit to be sold is what everybody in L.A. gets continually anywhere in Los Angeles. It was on the news the other night.
I missed that, but that is interesting.
Yeah, so that is another reason why you want to take the B-17 or the Excalibur. And it's another reason why I won't take my receptor off when I'm around town. I mean, I will not. Because you can feel the difference in Los Angeles so easily now with one of those things on versus one of those things off. Because, once again, you get this, the DNA when it's complete, okay, but it's in the wrong sequence. It puts out the wrong sequence of genetic information. And what happens is, when you put the receptor on, for example, you reestablish the homogeny of the magnetic orientation of the DNA. And this is done by the inductive energy. But if it's not done properly, the wrong bases start to get rejected. And this is exactly what happens when you begin to get cancer. And there are lots and lots and lots of subclinical cases of cancer running around. And what I would clearly define a subclinical case of cancer is a person with a negative attitude, a feeling of depression or paranoia or insomnia that hasn't manifested any physical symptoms yet. But at any point in time, if their molecular and their vibratory frequencies break down, their resistance internally breaks down on a chemical level, then they're going to come out with these different kinds of cancers. And if you don't think there aren't a lot of people running around, every time they have an ailment, they run down to the doctor looking for cancer. The doctor says you don't have it, but they keep running back, and they're afraid. They don't know whether they're going to get it or not. These are the kinds of people that definitely need to get into the B-17 and the B-15 treatments, and it will really turn their lives around and make them feel normal and whole again. Anyway, the B-17 shows great properties of rotating the planes of polarized light to the left and the crystalline sugar to the right, which it's supposed to. And under the influence of ultraviolet light coming from the sun, the plane of polarization is shifted to the left, and the proper orbital electron spinning in the phosphate base is restored. Thus, you know, if we have a constant source of B-17 in the diet, you can be sure that the polarity of DNA will be consistent, and then the body immune systems will be up, especially cancer, will be something that, you know, nothing to even worry about at all. So, A prolonged deficiency in B17, of course, may lead to diminished resistance to malignancies, and amygdalin can reduce the size of cancer tumors, erase the accompanying pain, inhibit the growth of cancer cells. In addition, it favorably will regulate the blood pressure and may have an anti-arrhythmic anesthesia-sizing effect. So it helps with people with heart arrhythmias, too, like B15 will do, okay? So I think that that kind of sums up the B-complex family in the Excalibur formula, and I won't have time today. Tomorrow we'll get into the vitamin C, and that's a whole great big long thing, you know. And plus we'll get more into DNA tomorrow, and we'll talk about the receptor and how the gemstones and the receptors work, and then from that we'll go into the minerals.
Well, we're going to, we've got a few more minutes here. Let's go start tomorrow. That's what we'll do now. So we will pop this puppy. Kind of got a little bit of a space out on that one, but it did seem to work out eventually. And so now we'll pop in a new puppy here, and we'll just continue right on through my old show, which is my new show now. So, Dr. Fred, are you going to be there? I'm sure you'll be there in a minute.
Now, live
wow.
Laguna Beach, California.
See, Laguna Beach, California.
Bell,
hey, there we go.
How are you doing?
There we go. There. I got my buddy Jim on with me tonight.
Oh, great. Anyhow, we're getting towards the end of our nutritional discussion before we go into other topics. But we've been talking all week about the, and last week too, about the different things that we put in the Excalibur formula and how they affect your body. Because that's a good synergistic formula to follow through. Herbs, now in our formula also we use herbs. I use at least about a dozen or more herbs in there because herbs are very important. They provide the missing ingredients that man puts in his own vitamin formulas. And we use the herbs that go along with the effects of the nutrients that are important. For example, we were talking about the effects of phosphorus and calcium the other day in the body and how that increases the sex drive and lecithin working together. We found that sarsaparilla, for example, which we use in the Excalibur formula, has whole female and male hormone structures in it. So this then causes the body to produce more of the reproductive energies and more of the fluids that are necessary for sexual energies, which then sarsaparilla, along with the other combinations, will raise the sex drive.
You know, Dr. Bell, I got a comment. Remember the other day when we had Dick Gregory in studio? He said, when the cowboy used to order sarsaparilla, he thought they were ordering alcohol. In fact, they were ordering an herbal drink.
That's right. That's right. Sarsaparilla is an old South American herb. It's been around for a long time. And they used to put, I think they used to put something like 7-Up or ginger ale in it to kind of make it go into your system. But it's a fact. It acts like an elixir and it increases your sex drive. I mean, quite a bit. You'd be surprised. Earl Irons, he's one of the guys at the National Health Federation. He's 90 years old. He's been lecturing with us since I would remember, and he goes way back. And he's the one that did the dolomite and some of the nutrients. He brought some of the nutrients to the public awareness. On his 90th birthday, he's like his third or fourth wife is giving birth to a child. This is no kidding. I mean, this guy's 90 years old, and he's still having kids. So if you're getting old and your sex drive is dropping, it's not a fact of nature. It's a fact of that you're just vastly deficient on certain nutrients in the body that we've been discussing, and you've got to put those back in your body. But if you're too far gone, you may have to cleanse your body so that your body will assimilate them again. Now, for thousands of years, man's been using herbs. Historians tell us that King Solomon, who was one of the wisest men at the time, although I know he was a little greedy, was a great herbal physician. Samuel Thompson, who lived about 100 years ago, cured more than 3 million people of chronic and acute diseases with herbs. And it stands to reason that if the nature can supply the vegetable kingdom to keep us alive, the nature can provide remedies for our diseases. Every animal, for example, knows remedies for their ills. From man's observation of animals and what they do when they are sick has come most of our knowledge of herbs and their uses. We also, of course, owe a tremendous amount to the Indians and natives of many countries, through many centuries have taught white men how to cure chronic diseases. For example, when I was a kid in Arkansas, the first thing I learned is if I got cut, you know, and it got a little kind of infection at all, I would immediately run out and grab some moss off of a rock or a tree and put it on there, and instantly, like, the healing process begins. And you use the green side of the moss, not the dark side where it hooks onto the plant, but the other side, the smooth, shiny side. Now, each family of plants has its own peculiar habit of taking from the soil a specific group of chemical elements. The family called legumes, the plants that have edible seeds within a pod, such as peas, beans, and clovers, supply calcium, potassium, and phosphorus, and in the non-poisonous form. They are called, another thing is lime plants. Lime plants present us with materials also to build bones. Throats a little bit loose today. Another family of herbs is called liliaceae, or the lily family stores organic sulfur in a non-poisonous form. Now, organic sulfur is very important because the first thing that happens in the body is that when we have the four basic atoms, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, and carbon, the fifth element to be produced in there is sulfur. Sulfur is very important to detoxify the body, but don't just go out and buy sulfur. You've got to do it in an herbal form. Other forms of herbs, for example, are iron plants, and it goes on and on and on. So I've been using herbs in my formulas for quite a while. I was thankful to have as a teacher, the late Dr. John Christopher. Now, bran is about 14% of a kernel, which is part of grain. And when we use a bran in our formula as a source of B17, we use a thing called bitter almond bran. And almond bran is extremely high in B vitamins, iron, and incomplete protein. In milling, a part of food processing, the bran is the first thing stripped off, and it contains the highest amount of nutrition of the entire grain. Grain is divided into three parts, the germ, the endosperm, and the bran. And people don't realize that when they go get these natural cereals, like rice, for example, any kind of rice cereal, all this nutrition's been stripped off. The only thing that's in there is usually it's the center, the germ of the kernel is there. And sometimes people buy wheat germ by itself, but even in wheat germ, the chaff has been stripped off, which has most of the nutrients.
Even your brown rice?
Brown rice, same thing. And brown rice is just the outer part of the rice and hasn't been processed. Where, you know, white rice is one of the worst things you could put in your body because it robs everything out of your body. That's just like drinking Clorox. Brown rice has got some of the natural element. It's got the highest content of nutrition of any form of rice. You know, lots of iron, those kinds of things. But still, it's not, you know, just about, you have to just about pick it out of the field yourself to get a good form of rice. Are you a rice eater?
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Bell, I kind of like white rice.
Yeah, most of us do. You know, we have our bleach taste problems. You know, I mean, I actually don't like white bleach flour bread anymore. White bread.
You ever go to Chinese restaurants?
Do I?
Yeah.
Not too often, but I do sometimes. No, I like Chinese food.
Me too, and I always have a lot of rice with my egg foo young and stuff.
Yeah, I know. We all do.
But I'm cheating then, right?
Yeah, you really are. The long grain rice is the best, the long grain type, because it has a little bit of the outer part of it still in there.
Can you get that, the long grain white rice, you mean?
Yeah, right. No, it's usually long grain brown rice.
Oh, nuts. Okay.
Anyway, and then the next herb that we use is butternut. And the bark of the root of butternut is useful to establish and maintain enzyme activity where mucosa has been affected by excessive ash foods, such as meats and dairy products. This is especially important as cows, chickens, and other dairy animals are also raised on processed chemicals and junk foods. As a result, they and their products may contain many toxins. So and that's one of the things about the Excalibur formula, because it does have a detoxifying effect. And these herbs, what they do, like ash, for example, like, you know, when you start getting a cold, like sometimes when I get a cold, I used to in the old days because I was a dairy product eater, get a lot of mucus flowing. You know, you have to blow your nose for 3 days or 4 days or a week. And we've all found that use of the Excalibur formula, because it does get rid of the different ash buildup in the body and mucus buildup in the body, what happens is that when you take the butternut in the Excalibur formula, even though you don't have a cold during the time that you're ingesting this, when you finally do end up with a cold, if you do go out and cheat for 2 or 3 days straight or go on a bend or whatever, you'll still, your body is low in mucus because you've been on this anti-mucus formula. So this is a very important thing to know about, I think, anyway. And as it helps remove the toxic waste material, butternut then contributes to the maintenance of a healthy flora in the large intestine. Absorption of the B vitamins and amino acids depends on healthy mucus. And the herb contains nutritive properties which assist in the restoring of intestinal function where tissue deterioration has occurred from malabsorption. And this can also help work on like an ulcerated condition. A lot of people have ulcers. And, of course, we use ginger in there, which helps relieve that, too. The next thing, of course, we mentioned yesterday is cayenne, which Dr. Christopher used to continually talk about, cayenne peppermint. As a matter of fact, he used to take a spoonful of straight cayenne pepper daily and drink it into a glass of water. And I wouldn't recommend that you listeners out there trying to do that, because your eyes and your face and everything else is going to water like crazy for a while.
But you know what is interesting? Yesterday, your comments about eating spicy food.
Right.
That elicited a comment from Arsene Ishkin, our creative cook, and she related to me, I don't know if you happen to have been listening to that show, but she related to me an old Armenian remedy that is very similar.
Really? What was that?
Well, basically using pepper.
Yeah, pepper is fantastic. You know, it really is. If you take Excalibur and you put it, if you just put it in your mouth, and don't chew it up just like a lozenger,
mm-hmm.
You can taste the cayenne. It will cause a little bit of a stinging on your tongue. And that, by the way, for those of you who have sensitive walls in your stomach, that's not going to open up any kind of an ulcer or anything. That's not the effect it has on the body. What it's doing is sensitizing the taste buds and sensitizing and getting rid of dead cells, removing skin that's blocking up nerve endings. It works in that way. You can get incredibly high just on cayenne pepper in water on a fast, but you know, I don't recommend that you go out and try it because you've got to know what you're doing, because you can get sick because you'll release too many toxins and you end up with what's called a healing crisis. Once in a while, someone will take the Excalibur, too much of it too quick, and they'll release too many toxins and they'll get a slight reaction from it. Not from the vitamin per se, but they're getting a reaction from their own systems. But it's good to get that reaction when you're young and healthy, rather than wait until you're old, because the reaction that you get when you're young and healthy, it may last a day or so, or maybe just a few hours, could be become a terminal condition when you get up in your 70s and 80s. So these are things that you got to think about. Now, one of the things about cayenne is it's a form of pepper that is high in sulfur, phosphorus, magnesium, iron, and calcium. And its sulfurous action makes it a very special herb. Now, sulfur is a non-metallic element that occurs widely in nature, being present in every single cell in plants and animals. And sulfur makes up about 0.25% of the human body weight. It is called nature's beauty mineral because it keeps the hair glossy and smooth and keeps the complexion clear and youthful. And sulfur has a very important relationship with protein. It is contained in the amino acid methionine, cysteine, and cysteine, and it appears to be necessary for collagen synthesis. So now you can see it working with the vitamin C, which then means it's going to work synergistically with the acerola cherry, these kinds of things. The sulfur is prevalent in the keratin, and it's a high protein substance necessary for the health and maintenance of the skin, hair, and nails. It's also found in insulin, the hormone that regulates the carbohydrate metabolism, and it also occurs in carbohydrates such as heparin, which is anticoagulant found in the liver and other tissues. So here, when it goes down in the liver, what we're saying is that
Well, we're going to have to stop this right now, and I'm going to continue this exactly at this point next week. We just had to stop that. I'm sorry about that. I know it's exciting, but we are running out of time here. We try to keep our timing down to 55 minutes, and we're at 54. So if you want information, don't forget we have our new super receptor series out. The professional is being sold already. These things work not just on scalar techniques, but they also work in quantum, which the old receptors did not do. More information, call 1-800-729-2603. And with that, I guess we're going to be signing out.